course. 2:37 on the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO. We had somebody call in right before the break and ask what's going to happen to the trains that run on that track, you know, like that go through the Castleton area, and whether or not train traffic was going to be disrupted. And I'll be honest, I don't know. You know, we know that they're going to have to clean it up at some point and get things repaired. I just don't know what the timeline is. But somebody texted in and said, Mike, as far as trains being stopped for days, BNSF loses $1 million an hour when their trains are stopped. A derailment service will drag the wreckage off the line. The maintenance of way workers will fix it as fast as possible to get the trains rolling again. The railroad has been a part of my family since I was born. I've seen many derailments. I don't know. And so I'm going to take this listener's word for it. But $1 million an hour? Wow. That's a lot of money. And then, I mean, that's if the trains ain't moving, BNSF is not making money and people are unhappy. So they need to get things going as quickly as they can. There's no doubt about it. One of the questions that I had when this derailment happened, after, as I said earlier, it became clear that things were going to be okay from a life and limb standpoint, that nobody had been injured and that nobody had died, my thoughts immediately went to what ifs. What if this happened in downtown Fargo? What if this happened in an area that was more highly populated than the Castleton area? What if this happened in downtown Moorhead or any other community? I think the scenario would have been different. It would have been a different story altogether if that had happened. And I know that cities do these things. They play out these scenarios in case things do happen in their city. And so I gave Leon Schlafman a call. He is the emergency manager for the city of Fargo to find out what Fargo's plan is if indeed there were ever a derailment and a fire on a train in downtown Fargo or any other area of Fargo. Leon, welcome to the Mike McFeely Show this afternoon. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks, Mike.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I hope you're staying warm, by the way, too. Does the city of Fargo talk about these things? Do you get together with your team and say, look, you know, if this happens in Fargo, here's the steps we need to take. Here's what's going to happen. Are those scenarios laid out, Leon?
We are constantly looking at the what ifs, like you said. And this is one of the what ifs we played out actually on the first part of November with the department heads for the city of Fargo and city administration. So we've kind of looked at this and seen this as a potential hazard and threat to Fargo. And we've played out a number of different scenarios.
So what would happen if what happened in Castleton happened in, let's say, at Broadway and Main Avenue in downtown Fargo? What then? What next?
Well, our scenario, we actually played it out at University in Maine, so we're okay. Talking the same general area.
Sure.
But we look at those three priorities that we look at from the first responder side, and that first one is life safety. We try and look at how do we get the people out of harm's way? How do we stabilize the situation or get people out of harm? And the other one is then we look at the property. Can we take care of fire, or can we look at taking care of stabilizing that situation, or like in Castleton's situation, do we just let it burn? And the other one is when we look at the environment. So we look at a number of different factors.
I'm guessing that if this had happened at University in Maine in Fargo, there were going to be many more people involved in terms of humans, because it's just more populated. There's more people living here. There's more traffic. There's just more people, Leon. How do you get a high number of people out of harm's way as quickly as possible in a city like Fargo?
Well, like Castleton, we would have them shelter in place. The scenario I had described for Fargo, I chose because there are a number of people that have to be taken into consideration. There's a large nursing home facility just south of the mock scenario that I was talking about in Fargo. There's roughly about 800 residential units in that circle that we were talking about, and about 400 commercial. And that doesn't even take into consideration all of the traffic and the people that are visiting that area.
I'm guessing, again, that if something like this happened in our town, that the option of letting it burn would probably not be the best option for a populated area or a more populated area. Would I be right in assuming that you'd probably want to get the thing put out as quick as possible?
Well, you would think so, but that's one of those things we'd have to take into consideration when we start looking at what are the weather conditions, what are the environmental factors for that day, what are the wind directions, what are the consequences if we do put it out compared to if we do let it burn. So there would be a number of things that the local fire department and the hazmat team would have to take into consideration. Each situation is going to be a little different, so I really can't give you a good answer on that one.
Leon Schlafman, the emergency manager for the city of Fargo, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. Am I right, Leon, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, in thinking that there is more train traffic going through Fargo-Moorhead in recent years because of the oil boom, and there is more hazardous material moving through Fargo-Moorhead in recent years because of the oil boom? Are those accurate statements on my part?
I think you're pretty accurate in that. With the western North Dakota oil boom, we've definitely seen an increase in the tank car traffic coming through hauling western North Dakota crude. We've always had hazmat coming through our community with the two main rail lines coming through and the interstate traffic both east, west, north, south. We are prime hub for hazmat and hazardous materials. But we also have a great response network set up and probably one of the best hazmat teams in the country.
And I've often said this, and I said it earlier in the program, but are the things moving through our communities something that we don't really think much about or know much about as citizens? In your position, you know, I think, what's going through our towns, but there are some things going through on trains and in trucks and such that could be dangerous materials, right?
Well, if I walk through any of the large department stores, there are a number of things that can harm us. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we would be somewhat more concerned about. And in these situations that happen outside our community, it brings more awareness. But it's day-to-day life, and we need the products and the transportation. So, you know, we do the best we can, and we just kind of put it in the back shelf or in the back of our minds and hope everybody's responsible and does things right.
When's the last time there was a derailment in Fargo? Just off the top of my head, as I was thinking about this situation, I can't think of one, Leon. Has there been one recently?
It's been a couple years, but and nothing to this magnitude. We might have had a wheel or something pop off a rail up in the switching yards, but nothing to this magnitude.
Okay.
We're pretty fortunate. We have a nice, straight, even track running through Fargo with no curves or major switches. So we're fortunate with that.
Okay. And is this a meeting talking about possible scenarios? Do you have these meetings often, Leon? Is it, you know, once a year, twice a year, once every couple of years? How often do you guys get together and say, look, let's lay out this plan?
Well, I'm the what-if guy, so I meet with all the departments once a month, and we talk about different scenarios. And then with the department heads and different groups, I meet no less than four times a year, and we'll run different scenarios. We'll be coming up with flood pretty soon, and then we'll look at tornado scenario, and then another hazmat. And, you know, we've got the Keystone Pipeline that runs through a couple major waterways that we rely on, and a lot of interstate traffic, mm-hmm. and we take our water out of the Red River. So, you know, I throw a lot of what-ifs at them, and they're pretty good about trying to solve the problems and come up with solutions.
I wouldn't mind being a what-if guy. It sounds like kind of actually, I mean, I know it's a serious situation, but it'd be kind of a fun job. You get to ask everybody what-if. It's got to be kind of fun to go over over the scenarios.
Some days it can be. Other days it can be challenging.
I suppose. All right, Leon, thank you. Thanks for taking time out. Great information. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Leon Schlafman, he's the emergency manager for the city of Fargo.